dun, 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 dun.
On this week's show,
dun, 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 dun.
We discuss all of the biggest issues in Irish rugby.
Da, da, da,
is Will Connors in cahoots with a time-travelling sexy robot sent back in time to chop tackle and save Irish rugby?
And also, when is an appropriate time to remove the reindeer antlers from your car after Christmas?
Is Will Addison as sexy as he is class?
Yeah.
Good.
Joe presents Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby, together with Guinness.
Hello and you're very welcome to Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby, here on Joe, together with Guinness. It's between Christmas and New Year's, when you're full of turkey and full of beers. Between the 25th and the 31st, when the country is about to burst. It's been called Crimbo Limbo, and more recently, the Gooch. Not your man that plays for Kerry, but that place between your arse and your flute. It's a weird time of year, isn't it?
We call it Bars.
Bars, yeah.
That doesn't rhyme, though.
We call it Gooch down here, which is...
We call it both. It's fine.
An unfortunate name for your man that played for Kerry. Do you know him?
No, I've never heard of him.
It's a guy that played for Kerry.
Sorry, I have heard of him, but not in that context.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, did you not know what the Gooch was? See, no. I don't know if many people do know this.
That's where it came from.
I don't know which... No, that's not where he... Either way, it's terrible. Whether it was named after him or he was named after it. But yeah. there's definitely a connection there. And yeah. It's weird when you hear like commentators talking about him and thousands of people talking about him all the time.
He's a big name then.
Huge. Yeah, yeah, one of the biggest GA players, like football players, one of the best ever. Oh. And he's got that name. It's brilliant.
Yeah. Shame on me.
Yeah. Had you a good Christmas?
Yes, I did. I did. A lot of time with family. Very chilled out. As chilled out as you can get with three kids. And but Molly and Jack, anyway, are in great form. although Jack, I don't know. At 4 years old, I think he's worked out.
Worked out what?
Worked out.
Has he?
I don't, just in case we have any listeners below 4 years old.
Maybe.
He says, Daddy, is Santa for real?
For real?
For real. Yeah.
Not is he real, is he
He's for real, like...
Wow.
Yeah, but I think...
He is.
Of course he is. But the thing...
Yeah. Jack,
yeah. I think Jack is confused. Santa and Jesus are often merged into one. Saying our prayers one night, he thanked Jesus for all the presents. He is the original source of the presents, Jack.
Right. Yeah.
Via Santa.
Yeah. Wow, that's... That's interesting. So
yeah,
he lobs them both in together.
Yeah, and I saw another
Baby
side.
Santa.
I saw another side of Jack as well. I thought about getting him a Nintendo Switch, but I thought he's just too young. Like it's maybe 7 or 8, kind of around the age where you get a Nintendo Switch, apparently, because his cousins had them. And but on Christmas Day, all the cousins were around, so he's playing the Nintendo Switch. I remember when I was a youngster, even when I was playing, I had a bit of a short fuse. You know, I had a bit of red mist in me.
Yeah,
Johnny Sexton always slags me for having red mist, and that's fine coming from him because I know he's got some red mist as well. But there was a wee moment, and Jack couldn't work this game on the Nintendo Switch. Farted down and started screaming. And I was like, "Do you know the movie Mr. Brooks, Kevin Costner?"
I don't.
He's a serial killer in it. He's like a successful businessman. He's like Time Magazine Man of the Year, but he's a serial killer. His daughter then, towards the end, like half an hour before the end, his daughter comes to visit him, comes home from university, and she's killed someone, and he's like, "You've got it too." That was the moment I saw Jack throw a tantrum.
"You've got it too."
And I was like, "You've got a short fuse too, son."
You'd be a good serial killer, actually.
You think
be
like so?
American Psycho, is it similar to that? Have you seen that film?
Yeah, yeah.
Patrick Bateman.
Yeah.
Yeah,
similar enough.
You'd fit that kind of mold.
Thanks.
Yeah, quite straight-laced and you seem very proper, but then you're a maniac.
I would get away with it.
Wasn't Jack at some point over Christmas, I saw on your Instagram, was sorting a load of sweets out into...
Psycho.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Psycho.
Right enough.
Best of luck with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's going to be... And we're going to have an interesting few years with him.
Mm. Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Start killing any animals out your backyard or anything like that. Sacrificing the cat. Keep away from my house anyway.
What about you? Do your two show any signs of serial killing?
No. Bit young yet. 4 or 5 months.
Give them a chance.
Give them a chance, yeah. Annabelle, like, obviously she's named after a murderous doll. So I have hopes that she's going to be tough.
I hope so, because it would be a great way for us to keep in touch.
Yeah.
We'll have a lot in common.
Sign each other through that glass window. I have barely been home over Christmas. It's been a pain in the hole because we've been gigging a lot. But we're done now. Last night we were in Kilkenny.
We, as in all of us.
As in
me included.
Yeah, we're done. This is our last show of the decade, our last gig of the decade last night in Kilkenny. It was lovely. My hotel room had a bidet.
Oh, did you wash your arse?
No, I didn't. I probably should have. It was. I haven't seen a bidet in a while. We used to have a bidet at home.
I'm not sure of your pronunciation, but
what's it? What do you call it?
Isn't it a bidet?
Is it? Because we used to call it a bidet in Limerick. But I thought we were. Is it not a bidet like a French bidet?
Maybe it could be.
Do you call it a bidet as well?
Yeah, it reminds me of Crocodile Dundee. Where he's trying to work it out.
Was he?
Yeah.
Ah.
For washing your backside.
He's trying to tell my sister that it was a water fountain for drinking out. And she's like, yeah, you drink out of it. I don't ever remember washing my arse in it, but...
No.
Definitely. I was thinking, I wonder, does Keith Earls have a bidet, you know?
A bidet.
Because he definitely didn't have one when he was younger.
Yeah.
But now that he's rich and famous,
yeah,
I'd love if he had a bidet in his house. He's always
that's
washing.
That's a sign of new money, is it?
Yeah. We'll get him on. We should do Baz and Andrew's cribs and go to rugby players' houses and see, just to see if they have bidets.
Yeah, we'll go to Eamon Bracken's house. Remember I told you he did the piss take of the MTV cribs at Irish schools?
Oh, yeah.
Hi, MTV. Wasn't expecting you till tomorrow. Right, in character.
That's great. So you were busy over co-coms as well. I was listening to you after the Ulster Connacht match the other night.
Yeah.
Robbo, which I loved, started calling the two brothers, Stephen and Conor Fitzgerald, Sprout and Turnip, which is brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he also referenced our little drum and bass.
Yeah.
So Trimby joined us on stage in Belfast a few weeks ago before Christmas for a little... kind of a rave, and you got on the you got on the percussion and you had a little go. But before the gig we had a little bit of a jam. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I mean, very little prep. We just threw that together and it was we broke the internet, I think so.
Yeah, David O'Doherty posted it twice on his Twitter.
Yeah,
just saying.
Yeah, no, I think it went down a treat.
Okay, so we'll have spin-off band. Just drum and bass.
Yeah.
Just doing Anderson .Paak and Mac Miller covers.
Yeah, okay.
Goofy, keep it splashy. So you had a busy Christmas with co-coms?
Yeah. I really enjoyed actually working with Robbo and Bernard Jackman. It was nice to see Ulster kick on a little bit. So I've been very lucky. I've never been in a position where I've on comms had to give Ulster players a hard time.
I know,
like, hard truths
all the time. Even on this show, they mightn't win all the time, but they play.
I know. There's positive. Always something.
Yeah,
and
I was thinking that
there's always a positive. Unlike yourself, we'll get into that later on. That's why Fla is sick today.
Oh yeah, by the way, conveniently isn't here today. He's taken a little Christmas holiday. Kids. We'll start with Leinster versus, or we'll start with Ulster versus Connacht on whatever day of the week that was. A pretty formidable performance. Dan McFarland is really putting it together at this point. They defended very well again. I think there was a point where there was 34 phases and they kept Connacht out.
34 it was.
Yeah, I went back and counted it.
He did no
because you're
you just don't trust the ESPN or Opta.
yeah.
or any commentator.
I don't know how to be looking up those stats.
You'd rather do it the old-fashioned way.
I just press rewind and went back. Because like on TV, you got it up to like 26 and then something else came up on the feckin' screen and stopped it. And then you stopped counting. So I had to go back and did it myself.
Yeah.
And then that was pretty impressive.
Yeah. I find those passages of play interesting, the way people react to them at the end of them, because it was relentless. Putting 34 phases together in Ulster 22 is seriously impressive. Ulster's defence was equally as impressive, counter-rocking a few times, picking times to go, a couple of big hits in there as well. Same thing happened, Munster-Leinster, twice. Mm. Both of them came to nothing as well. Leinster in around 50 minutes, and then Munster towards the end. And I just find it interesting, the reaction afterwards, because both teams are creating and are doing something really impressive there, but it's that last play that decides who's on top. That last phase, 1/34th of that passage
incredible
of play.
Incredible from Ulster.
Unbelievable defence, because they got the last phase, or they got the turnover in the end.
Or unbelievable attack.
Such patience, relentless.
Yeah.
All on that one phase.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny how, like, that is, I know, it's
well, this is your job as co-coms now to just change that.
Yeah.
Nah, it was...
I did, but no one, everyone thinks that's boring. If you say, brilliant from both teams, you sound like...
You have to jump on board.
I just love rugby. you have to get on board with it.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
You have to get a bit tabloidy.
Yeah, no, it was, to be fair, like, they were pretty impressive when they're getting up off their feet and just going again and going again.
Yeah.
And it just, I don't know, they felt comfortable. And I felt throughout the game, Ulster looked very comfortable, like exiting out of their own half.
Very good. That was a big part of what...
Because they're always a threat. They're a threat to goal. We've seen them score tries from their own 22 over the last few weeks. And then Will Addison just floating around. Let's not just go through end to end of the game. Let's just focus on Will Addison for a good bit of this.
Yeah. So I was getting a hard time for not giving him man of match.
Yes. So what was your thoughts there? Why didn't you? I think what was your point on Twitter that if it's a girl that you fancy when you're younger, you don't want to be like...
I was being mean to him.
Yeah.
Hoping that'll make him more keen.
Right.
To get with me.
There you go, Will.
I think he's keen.
I still love you too.
I think he's keen too.
Yeah. So go on, talk me through what you...
I thought there were a few big performances. I thought...
No, just Will Addison. That's all I want right now.
Will...
Okay, he was 15, right?
He was class.
Yeah.
He was class. I just think the only reason he's allowed to be class is because the boys up front just smashed people time after time after time and did really well with ball in hand as well. Al Connor was brilliant. Sean Reedy was brilliant. Matty Ray, I think, has come on loads this season. He's been brilliant as well. Balakoon was pretty good as well.
Mm.
But yeah, Will, I just thought he was unreal. He just looks so slick, so composed. But again, sorry, I know. Yeah, every time I go to make one point, I'm like, but Will.
Yeah.
He was brilliant, wasn't he?
He was. But like, I mean, for me, when I look at him, I think he's the kind of player that... when you don't know you're missing in a team until you see what he can do.
Yeah.
He's a very unique rugby player. He can straighten a line and straighten a defence and sit down a defence so easily, so naturally, so instinctively. And talking about stats, in a game where so much of the rugby these days is stats-based, you know, in the team room, looking, doing reviews, previews, and a lot of players are probably leaving half their brain inside in a video room and wondering what they should be doing at every moment. There's a lack of flow sometimes watching rugby. There's a lack of players who are actually in that moment and creating something from nothing, seeing what's in front of them and just playing with their instincts. And when I watch Will Addison play, I'm like, that guy is in the moment every time. He wants to create something, he wants to start something. And his, like that line he took out the back, that sweep play out the back of Burns, of McCluskey for Balakoon's try.
Yeah.
The timing of that was just perfection. The injection of pace, his positional work. Like a lot of players would show early on that and you'll see him coming. He was just lurking in behind inside Burns and then
pulled up and then injection of pace and just broke the defensive line. And then,
you know, he did that well. We used to call this, I remember with Ulster, there was a realization, obviously, like, what happened there was it was Billy Burns out the back of McCloskey and a forward, maybe. I don't think it was all backs. But so it's not a typical kind of shape. Often with just the backs, or maybe off a starter, off a scrum or something, it would be just a reverse, kind of just behind 12 to the wing. We call Dougie Howlett did a few times for Munster and hit himself so well, so that when 10 actually lets go of the ball, Dougie's inside 10, but he puts it in the air, so he comes from nowhere. You don't see him. Yeah. So the defense number up, and then they get done because they just don't see him. There's just an extra man that they haven't considered. Yeah. I think that's what he did. We changed it. I remember myself and Paddy Jackson talking about it, and we were like, right, let's not just do a reverse. Let's do a really hidden, really disguised reverse. We called it a Dougie reverse. Yeah. And then we just ran this. I was like, before it comes, do it the Dougie way. And we got loads of joy out of it.
Yeah.
You're so hidden. But then the other thing that Alison did really well was, I mentioned this in comms, so it's a bit steel now, but typically when you go out the back, you mightn't strike. You'd take it and then you play again.
Yeah.
You'd link. But that gives them opportunity to kind of get back into shape or something, or to tag on again, to recover in defence. Mm-hmm. But he just spotted that. I don't know who the Connacht player was that hinged in on McCloskey, but he just turned his back a little bit and he just took that space that he went from. It was so fast and so slick and it was so smooth. The pass from Billy Burns as well. Again, probably hammered up too much, but it was slick.
Yeah. If you were to pick your starting Ulster backline in the morning, you know, with...
Can I pick injured players? Is this hypothetical?
This is hypothetical. You've got everyone available. Obviously, I think Cooney and Burns are pretty... pretty solid at 9 and 10. But then you've... McCloskey at 12. Then you've got Addison can play 13. You've got Marshall playing 13. You've got Stockton has been playing 15. Addison has been playing 15. Faddis has been playing brilliant. Gilroy, Balakoon, Little. I mean, what a bunch of players to pick from, and a variety of combinations.
I feel like when you're talking about Addison playing 13, you're trying to coax me into putting him in there and have Jacob at 15. I'm going to stand strong.
No.
I'm going to stand strong. I'm going to put Cooney at 9, Burns at 10. However, I think I was chatting to Mike Laurie there at the weekend.
Ooh.
He's back running this week.
Ooh.
And I have a soft spot for... I think he's class.
I'll give you a bench as well. Give me your three bench, because they'll be important throughout the game.
It'd be madness for me to pick Mikey now, right? But it's an honourable mention.
Yeah.
And when he's fully fit, he could challenge the two of them. That could be really good for both of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm muddying the water here.
Yeah, you are.
So 9, Cooney, 10, Billy Burns, Jacob on the left, McCloskey and Luke Marshall in the centre, Balakoon on the right with Will at fullback. Honourable mentions.
Bench. Three players on the bench. Or two.
Shanahan, Mike Laurie, and I'm going to go Gilroy on the bench. Gilroy could be starting ahead of Jacob. I think Balakoon's playing out of his skin at the minute. He's probably the in-form winger. He's only played one game, actually. Yeah, but still. Louis Ludic was the in-form winger until he picked up a knock there. So
Ludic, sorry, I forgot him as well. Yeah, he was.
Louis's on fire at the minute.
Yeah.
And Gilly, I think we all know what Gilly's capable of. I know, I'm sorry.
You are. I can't even remember what your team is, though.
But
who was on the right wing?
Balakoon.
Balakoon, okay, yeah. Serious backline.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Did you get that all?
Yeah.
9, Cooney. 10, Billy Burns.
No,
11, Jacob.
Yeah,
Stewart. Luke Marshall, Balakoon, Will Addison, Shanahan, Mike Laurie, and Gilly.
Yeah. Good side. They'll probably go relatively strong against Munster next weekend.
Yeah. They'll have to make a few changes, but Cooney, Munster is Cooney struggling probably, as well.
Has Cooney played two or one? Oh, you can only play one, right?
Yeah. Cooney's...
Oh, he's not involved?
Cooney won't be able to play.
But he wasn't in the World Cup?
Yeah, but apparently that doesn't matter. Sure, Jack. Oh, no, sorry. Is it the World Cup that they're dictating, or is it the 45?
No, it's supposed to be the World Cup, yeah. Whoever's involved in the World Cup, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, so you would think Cooney could play then again, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. I still think they'll change him, because they've got two European games then coming as well, so...
Yeah, maybe. Be interesting to see.
It'd be nice to see Murray v. Cooney, is that what you're saying?
Oh, I wasn't, but that would be that'd be a good good game because Murray will play. He hasn't played the last couple of games. They've given most of their Irish players a couple of weeks off. How did Kutsia finish up? Is he be out for a few weeks?
Don't know.
Bit. What was your take on that? You didn't really talk about it.
I didn't talk about it on purpose because I know I'm giving me a Paddy Max, and I just didn't want to see him get tortured about it. But it wasn't great.
It wasn't great. It wasn't intentional.
No,
was accidental. I wouldn't have, like, there was no malice. And I think I saw he came out on Twitter and said,
"Oh, did he?"
Yeah, and just said, "Look, if anyone that knows me knows that I'm not that kind of player." And when Marcel Kutsia runs at you.
You do just, silly things.
Yeah, yeah. Just like, gotta stop him. Yeah. But it probably warranted something.
It's probably red, is it not?
Yeah.
It's that's tough, especially because Will Addison's ban, which then obviously should have been red, wasn't as bad as that.
Yeah.
I think you get away with it whenever you're doing it to Kutsia.
For some reason. He's such an animal.
Yeah.
I suppose it wasn't like. He still kind of made a dominant carry in that he went forward. It wasn't like when normally when someone gets a blow to the head when they go backwards.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
he got smashed in the head, concussed, and he still made a gate line.
Did they both get concussed?
I think so. Paddy went off then shortly after, didn't go off at the time. Okay. But I think then whenever they watched the replay, then they spotted, right, he needs to get looked at. And I can't remember if he came back on. I don't know if he did.
I can't either. Quick, we haven't spoken about the Leinster Ulster match a few weeks ago, 54-42. Were you co-coms for that?
No.
Okay, but you watched it.
Yeah.
Pretty bonkers game.
Weird game, yeah.
Yeah.
Leinster were just so, their execution was unbelievable. They just, any opportunity they got, they just scored tries the first half, and then I thought the second half, to be fair, Ulster stuck at it, and they had a few young guys, three or four guys making the first game. In the first game for Ulster, and they stuck at it and did really well and got back into the game, and then obviously got the losing bonus or got the four try bonus point. But I think Leinster were kind of looking towards Christmas. They got the job done before half time, and it probably wasn't a fair reflection of the whole game. I don't think it should have been that close.
No, jeez, they were unbelievable. Harry Byrne, man of the match performance.
He was class.
Yeah,
there's been a lot of chat about him, hasn't there? Isn't that very typical? You say, you think he's good, we'd see the younger brother. That's such a typical.
I think Joe Schmidt came out and kind of said that a few years ago.
Oh, really?
I don't know if it was a lunch that he was talking at or something, but he pretty much said that. Wait to see the younger brother.
Yeah, he looks good, doesn't he?
He wasn't on the bench at the weekend. No, Frawley was on the bench, but he was doing
Waterboy,
bringing on the tea and Waterboy and stuff, which was interesting seeing the two brothers in Thomond Park. So they, Leinster versus Munster on whatever night of the week that was. Leinster kept pretty strong team out there despite, like, you know, as you said, they can put anyone on the pitch at this point, and it's a strong team. And they controlled the game. It had all the signs of being a classic, sellout Thomond Park, you know, everyone home for Christmas, the big bash after what happened last year and Munster beating Leinster, and there was blood boiling after that.
Yeah.
There was good conditions for it. It was a bit windy. You'd think there would be classic kind of toe-to-toe rugby here. But Munster just kind of got it wrong in the first half especially.
Yeah.
Didn't know how to play with the wind into their faces. And I think Leinster just smelt blood.
You're talking about then they exited with box kicks rather than playing the way Leinster played.
Yeah.
So
classically, into the wind.
You just hold on to the ball.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. It's been a long time since I've played, but that was just hold on to the ball. You certainly don't.
Did they do that back in your day?
Yeah. Such thing as box kicks. Carry on.
I carry on off nine.
But yeah, right? Is that?
McCarthy?
Yeah, Nick McCarthy.
Was it not because his box kicks were a little bit inaccurate? Is that not why it didn't work? So not the execution rather than the decision?
A little bit of both. I mean, geez, it's so hard to kick into that wind. You could see I think Flam made the point in co-coms that you got to keep a low trajectory on the ball when you're trying to kick into a wind like that. So
He was under a little bit of pressure, but trying to put the ball up high in that, it's a lottery.
But Leinster nearly paid the price, so they played a lot more rugby when they were playing into the wind.
Mm-hmm.
Towards the end, they got a crucial turnover after loads and loads of Munster pressure. Mm-hmm. And then James Lowe tried to throw that basketball pass over the top just on his 22.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a sort of, obviously that's a silly decision, but if you try and hold on to the ball, then you have to take a few more risks. And if Munster were more clinical, they would have punished him. And then the narrative would have been Leinster didn't manage the game correctly and they played too much rugby.
No, I disagree.
I put it to you.
I disagree. That's one moment where James Lowe had a bit of a moment of madness.
He's great, though. He's great.
He's great. He's totally wrong. But I think Munster, like, you can't criticise them for their effort and, like, the players, how much they put in. Like, the work rate they put in is incredible. And the fact that they, like, this is an incredible Leinster team that have been wiping the floor with everyone, put 54 points on Ulster last week. And they had to work for every point they got against Munster. So it's not a lack of effort. But I think if I was more stats-based, if you went back and looked at the last 5 or 6 games, especially for Munster, especially the Racing game, 2 Saris game, even the Ospreys game, our return from box kicks is, I'd go as far as saying almost zero. Like, not above 90%, we're not getting the ball back. We're kicking not on our terms. The ball is slowed down beyond belief. You could hear the Leinster players the other night going, counting like 8, 9, 10 seconds while the ball is being rolled back through, trying to create a longer ruck. Yeah. And then it's a kick when everyone's ready for it. And there was a time when Joe Schmidt brought that into Ireland, when you were chasing the ball, when it was an unbelievable tactic and no one knew how to deal with it. And it was brilliant. But that time has come and gone.
But it still works for Ulster. Ulster's still doing it.
Not, but they've got such a variety of play that they, like I said, when they exit, you don't know if they're going to attack or if they're going to kick or if they're going to take a runner quick.
So, but that means, I don't think you need to write it off. I still think it's a legitimate way to get out of your 22 and to exit well.
Of course.
The Billy Burns try came from a box kick.
Yeah, but again, back to my point, done with well and... Yeah. And quick. I don't mind if it's... Like, you could see Leinster doing it in the second half. They didn't always run and keep playing for phase. They kicked a few boxes. But when they did, it was within 3 or 4 seconds. Someone carried strong, then a box kick was put up. When it's on your terms, it's not like, oh, shit, we've run out of things to do here. Let's put up a box kick.
Yeah.
And, like,
but
you could...
I watched the Exeter Saracens game there yesterday, and both of them were doing it. Spencer and Nick White for Exeter. They were both doing it. Get the long rock, take your time with it. And every time Wayne Barnes is like, play it now, and then you've got 5 seconds, and he takes his time, you use it. They were all doing it as well, and they're the best sides around.
It's destroying rugby. It's so shit to watch. It is so bad to watch, man. Like, you could feel, like, Munster in Thome Park against Leinster, you're like, you make it so uncomfortable that they, like, whatever, went to the Thome Park factor, bring that into play. And okay, you might think putting up box kicks is a good way to get the crowd behind you and get them like rabble, 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 which is fine if you've got the wind behind you and you're on again on your terms and your go forward ball, but you're negating the crowd there. It's like you're taking that out of the factor and you could feel it in the crowd. They were like, "Fucking, this is still at this. What are we at?" You know, and we've got better players than that. And, you know, people are praising Leinster what they did in the second half, but it was very simple stuff. Just passing, quick ball, moving the ball, you know. I think I saw a stat yesterday which said, this is alarming, that Munster didn't pass the ball more than twice in the entire game.
I heard three.
As in, they didn't pass it 3 times. More than twice, you know what I mean?
Oh, sorry.
In a phase.
Yeah.
So there wasn't 3 consistent passes in one phase of play for the entire game.
Yeah.
Like, that's mad.
So, see what you're saying there about Ulster, how everybody kind of does what they're told and everybody does their job and contributes that way to the way that they've learned in the video room. Mm-hmm. But Will Addison does something different. Not does something different, just plays a little bit more freely and he's got an X factor and he... he goes with how he feels the game or a decision that needs to be done or whatever. Anyway, so he goes with feel slightly more. Mm-hmm. And he's got X factor so he can back it up. Do you think that Munster are missing someone like that? Because Leinster have James Lowe. James Lowe gets a bit of space and gets that offload to Fardy in the second half, and then they're right on their line. They could have scored if Porter hadn't coughed it up.
Yeah, it's...
Do you think they need... And could that be Joey Carberry once he settles in? Could he...
Yeah, I mean, they've definitely the ability to do it. We've seen them do it, score some brilliant tries, and as Flau would tell you when he's here, they've a brilliant record in scoring tries over the last few years. And so I'm not sure if it's a personnel thing, it's a philosophy thing for me, you know. Okay, granted, the weekend there were combinations that were unusual, and it was an unusual selection of a team. I thought playing Diane Goggin on the wing was definitely done to stop James Lowe, and James Lowe had one of his quietest games for Leinster, so job done. But Dan Goggin is a brilliant distributing 13, and Sammy Arnold's a great player, hasn't played a lot of rugby, so it was a strange combination to put him and Scanlon in there when they haven't played a lot together. I would have loved to have seen Dan Goggin in there, and it might have brought a little bit more cohesion to the back line.
Scanlon is important.
I think
Scanlon's really important,
and like Scanlon is a brilliant distributor, and like when we talk about the sweep from Addison, like Scannell got the ball in three or four occasions of the weekend and could have given the sweep pass, but didn't and carried, and maybe once I think tipped on to Sammy Arnold, who then got turned over, and it wasn't. I'm not sure whether there's a lack of someone out the back like a Will Addison who sees everything and is just like, give me the ball, and that kind of thing is potentially what Munster are missing, is someone who has that confidence to be that sweep player. I think Earlsey is really dangerous on a sweep. I'd love
Healy
to see him play.
Could
a little
Healy
more.
Not do that?
Yeah, Healy had a brilliant game the weekend. Maybe found himself a little bit too wide to be that sweep player at times, but he's probably been our best back this season. But it's a philosophy thing for me. Again, if your go-to after four or five phases is we're going to put up a box kick, if everyone has that mentality, then players are probably not going to have the intention or the focus that we need to have a go here, and that's becoming more and more obvious to me, because as you said, we're not putting those phases together. It's very frustrating for a crowd to watch. But look, the flip side of it is they're winning, they're top of their pool, they're still very much in Europe. They're so hard to beat because of their work rate and their energy and their attitude, and the defence is brilliant.
Yeah, there's a few big performances.
Yeah, like I thought Witcherly was huge.
Was
Jack O'Donoghue at 8.
Yeah. Lachman and Jack O'Sullivan come off the bench.
Yeah.
And did really well.
Brilliant, yeah. Jack O'Sullivan was brilliant. Jeremy Lachman's obviously shown some.
They might both start this weekend.
Yeah. I'd say, like, he'll
Killer
go to.
Killer won't play.
You go to strong side because we've got Racing the following weekend, so
yeah, it's going to be so strong. Farrell can't play.
Oh, can he not?
Apparently not, because he played that one game, I think.
Yeah.
Van Grant said that. Klein can't play. CJ can't play. Pete's back.
Murray and Earlsey, Joey.
Earlsey, yeah.
Could Joey play though? I wonder.
Yeah, because he played
his 25, hasn't he?
I'd say they make exceptions, man. He has to start.
Yeah, Farrell might. Yeah.
If he's starting against Racing, he has to start.
Yeah.
And not that he will start against Racing. I think JJ's has been excellent. He's definitely made it more of a difficult decision.
Yeah.
And they could go with Joey off the bench. I think they would have loved to add him maybe a little bit earlier than this, because it's make or break in Paris in 2 weeks' time. They have to win that game.
It's break, I'd say.
No, it's not. I still have a faith.
Leinster.
Yeah. Okay. So Will Connors. He's 15,000 tackles in the last few weeks.
Yeah.
And he's missed.
He's related to Sarah Connors, I think. He's saving the planet just in an unusual way.
Chop tackle kind of way. She had the action pump action shotgun.
Yeah.
He's like pump action Connors. He's excellent. Excellent player.
Yeah.
Doris, Deegan.
All ridiculously good.
All those guys.
Ross, just touching on what we were saying about that Harry Byrne Ross Byrne thing, I thought Ross Byrne looked quite dangerous as well.
Yeah,
made that break, goes to the line hard. He has a reputation for being quite conservative, but I don't know, he didn't look that conservative.
No.
He just managed the game well, but also kind of backed himself or got played flat a couple of times.
I thought Rowan Osborne did really well.
Yeah, what's the story with him? Is he?
I hadn't heard of him until this weekend. And
first start.
I was like licking my lips when I heard that Gibson Park was out. I was like, nice one. I would have loved if Craig Casey had started for Munster. I think that was something that they overlooked the wee nine.
I know. Is he? Do you remember we were talking about him during the World Cup, the 20s World Cup?
Yeah.
Has he still got the same confidence and persona and chest out?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he played against Connacht last week and he was
brilliant. Reminded me of a little McGregor, Conor McGregor.
Before he became a dick. Remain like that, Craig, please. I think, you know, he's pure Limerick, like he's... Pure Limerick. He definitely is a beat. He's Mossy Lawler's nephew. He just has that coldness to him, that... Yeah. Bitterness, and I think Leinster versus Munster, our fans need someone like that to just put them in there. No matter what had happened, whether he played well or made mistakes or whatever, he would have still, I think, embodied what we all need in Munster at this moment, is a young lad like that.
The intangible coldness.
Yes, the bitterness.
Not good for him off the pitch. Don't enjoy Christmas. We need you cold come game day.
But look, he'll definitely be one for the future. So we've got two more Interpros this weekend. Any predictions?
There's really only one Interpro.
Yeah, there is.
Connacht, I'm struggling to find them. I'm struggling to find them relevant.
To find a way to pronounce their name.
Whatever. I just think they went pretty strong at home to Munster, poor, and then they were, I think, as good as Ulster were at the weekend, I think Connacht were poor, and then they're going to be lambs to slaughter this weekend at the RDS, I would have thought.
Yeah.
And it's a shame, because despite what you think, I think we all would like to see Connacht going well. We all remember them from that one year when everything just clicked and they've so much ability, but...
Well, even last year they played, you know, they almost beat Leinster in the RDS last year, Connacht, or beat Ulster in Ravenhill.
They beat Ulster,
Had some big games in Europe, and...
First time they beat Ulster in 60 years in Kingspan.
Yeah, I mean...
So they've got it in them.
As much as we all talk about that season a few years ago, I thought they were outstanding last year. And again, I struggled with a couple of his selection decisions this year, and... I think Carty could have done with a little bit more faith. I don't know what goes on behind the scenes there.
Yeah.
Is Marmion still injured or?
No, he's back, yeah.
He hasn't been on the bench even. Cairns is a good player and Blade is playing quite well, but he's putting an awful lot of faith in something that hasn't been working, because even against Montpellier a few weeks ago, okay, they won, but they were pretty lucky to get the win in the end and they still looked a bit scrappy. But I think... Selection wise, this weekend is important for them. I think Bundiaki didn't play dinner night today.
No,
he's got a back issue. Sorry, Kieran Marmion.
Okay. On a positive note, Ulton Delan has been pretty class.
Yeah.
I think he's matured. Not that he was immature, but.
He was very challenging.
But I think he just looks like he's out. He means business now.
Yeah, you're right. I would agree. I think he's matured. I think he's always had that kind of raw athleticism, and now he just seems to have grown into what's expected elsewhere, apart from just carrying the ball. But carrying the ball, he looks very dynamic.
Yeah.
First couple of carries, he carried hard and got loads of joy, and then I think then they started doubling up on him when they realised he's the main kind of ball carrying threat.
Mm. So what day are those games on?
What games?
That game on. Is it this side of New Year's or is it?
Jeez, I'm not clear.
Connacht, Leinster's on the 4th.
4th.
Our Munster, Ulster's game's on Friday.
Are you doing Anthem for New Year's?
No, we're just going round to France house.
Oh. I was thinking, do you know, everyone's kind of harping on about this week now, about it's been limbo. Like, I don't know what to do with myself. I'm not doing anything for New Year's.
Yeah. You know, gigs?
No, we're done. Finished. Decade of gigs. Yeah. Over. We have a gig on the 3rd in Ennis, but that's new. That's next year. We were in Donegal on the 22nd, and it was like that night where everyone's in Christmas jumpers at 3 o'clock in the day and they're leery and lurky in the middle of the day. We're like trying to have a coffee, get ready for sound check. It was like, Jesus Christ, this is so loose.
The Christmas jumpers thing, I think, is odd.
It is.
Anybody, I told you this before, Frampton on the Joe podcast, there was one recently, it just came up on my timeline, and Frampton was reacting live to, is it Warrington? Or what's the name of the...
I think that it, oh, yeah.
Warrington, yeah. He's the boxer that was, like, I'm slagging him, abusing him.
Okay, yeah,
saying,
yeah.
Oh, he's getting distracted with his podcasting and all.
Right.
And then he was reacting to it, and he was getting all fired up, like, real intense. And then you realise he's wearing, like, a Christmas jumper. It kind of ruins. It ruins
the Rudolph. Yeah. Rudolph's nose.
Yeah.
I was in the pub and there was a lot of football matches on, and there was a lot of lads who were in to watch the football, and they were like, oh, they were Irish. They were Donegal.
They're Donegal.
But I was thinking that, I was like, fast forward to 3 o'clock in the morning when all these lads are probably a little bit more aggro and pissed, and there are probably going to be a few fights with the Christmas jumpers on.
Yeah.
It's really hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah, I find we were talking
slagging each other's Christmas jumpers, like, what's that shit? Where'd you get that, Tesco's?
With the ones with the little elf, it looks like you're the elf head, like, yeah, they have the collar. But I was thinking about your year, right? So that's like the sloppiest time of year, that those few days, they're so messy. And we were chatting about it over a coffee, and we're like, if you were to take your full year and have it as a day out on the piss, a full day out, so each month representing a different point in the day of day out, not including your sleep, obviously, you go to sleep for, that's not included. So I think that time of year is like the time of the night where you should have gone home. It's like you're bananas, and you're like, it's either going to go one of two ways, where you're going to ruin Christmas for everyone, or you just go home.
Yeah, so you get up in January. January's first thing in the morning.
January, February, I think, even, is like first thing in the morning, you're watching.
Oh, I'm getting a gym membership.
No, you're just on the couch with like a salad bowl filled with Kellogg's Variety, all the cereal in one bowl. Just eating with a big massive spoon, watching feckin' Soccer AM or Demolition Man or something like that.
Demolition Man, where did that come from?
I don't know. Classic though. And then March is about 12 o'clock and you're like, shit, I gotta get ready to go out. Maybe it's, because it can be a variety of days out. So maybe it could be a wedding, mm-hmm, you're going to. So you could go, March is like getting 3 pints in post church.
Yeah.
Before the mass, getting there and realizing you're a bit early, we go across the road and have a snappy pint.
Yeah.
And then you have 3 pints and you're fucking...
Yeah, you're stuffing your face with canapés.
Yeah. April is, you're in the middle of the day and you're maybe out watching football matches, pretending you like football, but you really just want to drink during the day. You're like, go on, United, or something.
Go on.
Or you're at a stag. You're at a stag. May was perfect. One of the lads said, it's like you're pre-drinking, drinking a bottle in the shower.
The shower.
Dara said that one, drinking a bottle of Heineken in the shower, listening to music. And then the summer is just...
You've got your phone, like, with the speaker in the glass.
Yeah, outside the shower. I'm walking on sunshine. And then the summer is just barbecues and afternoon, like 5 to 8. Perfect, you're in flying form, your gags are hilarious, you're just, everyone's in great form, you're looking great.
Optimal.
Yeah, September is the transition period between the beer garden and your next place, so it's probably getting some food,
uh-huh,
that weird period in September where you're kind of neither here nor there. And then October, you're getting a bit spooky, and there's a few shots coming in. And you're
changing things up.
Yeah. And you're talking shit. You know, you're like, the fuck is he on about? Like, he's dressing up in weird clothes or whatever. And then November, you get sick. You've had a few shots in October and you puke all over the place in November. And you think you're done. You're like, oh, just get me to January, man. I'm sick of this. And then December, you're back on it.
You get a new lease of life.
You go to the club.
I became for food again. At some stage.
That's limbo. Uh-huh. So limbo is when you're after the club.
Yeah.
And you're just outside wandering around.
So hungry.
So just trying to eat food, trying to find your jacket. Where the fuck's my jacket? Calling your aunties. I need my jacket in your house last night. Each different auntie. And then New Year's is the after party that you never want to go to, but you always go to. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Are we still...
It's been such a long day. I don't have the stamina for 12 months of a day.
Of a day out, yeah.
I think, see that September period?
Yeah.
I might have just had it on.
God, no. See, I would have gone to the after party.
Yeah.
New Year's.
I have no stamina for...
Woke up New Year's Day going, I never...
I've been drinking for 9 months. I'm away to bed.
I'm never going again. And then you do it all again the next come March. I'm back in.
0 hours sleep.
Yeah.
Stripping.
There you are. We got there, didn't we?
We did. Jeez.
So over the Christmas period, any players that stood out to you? Because there's a lot included in Andy Farrell's 45-man stock take.
Yeah.
Anyone that you would love to see getting a shout for the Six Nations?
Will Connors is obviously going brilliantly. Will Addison, of course, 15. There's an opportunity there. Will Connors is going brilliantly, but I still think Van der Vlier is going to come back and have a blinder.
I don't think you can write off any of the players. That
one of the three of them will get a go, won't they? Caelan Doris, Max Deegan, or Will Connors.
Sarah
Connors.
With the injuries to
Sarah Connors, Terminator 1 and Terminator 2.
Ah, 2, she's definitely the best, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I've said Max Deegan's Terminator 1.
Oh, sorry.
And Caelan Doris, never mind.
Oh, God. Yeah, I wasn't with you. I think with Jack Conan injured,
yeah,
one of them would probably...
How serious is that?
I think he's going to miss the Six Nations, yeah.
Yeah.
Or at least the start of it.
So do you think one of them will displace CJ?
No.
Or shift him?
Maybe for an Italy match. You know, he'll definitely... They usually mix things up for the Italian match.
Mm-hmm.
Potentially a Scottish match. Is there much to lose in giving these lads a feckin' shout? Like, is there?
Yeah.
In my opinion...
No. There is. There is.
What?
There is. Farrell could lose his job.
Would you not love to see lads getting a...
Oh, you're going on about this 4-year rotation, peaking at a World Cup in 4 years' time. Is that what we're talking about? We've got Six Nations to win. We haven't got time. Farrell might not be in a job in a couple of years' time if he doesn't win Six Nations.
Yeah, I don't know. I definitely, like, there will be changes, I think.
Cooney, think Cooney will get a go?
Definitely on the bench.
Yeah.
And he'll get a shout. But, like... I don't think he's going to make drastic changes in a lot of positions, I think. There's a window open now at fullback. Larmour is getting, obviously, he's first one there, but Will?
Yeah. No, Will's only had one game, to be fair.
He's only 27 as well. I can't believe how young he is.
Yeah.
Conway played very well. Keith Earls. Devin Toner's put his hand up.
I was just going to say, Dev.
Yeah. Brilliant. Like, what more do you want? I think John Klein has played very well, to be fair to him. He's raised his game, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he was excellent.
You couldn't play the two of them together?
No, but I think he's answered a lot of his critics over the last few weeks. He's been one of Munster's better players.
Is that right?
So, interesting decisions to be made.
Jack O'Donoghue, not in that 45-man group.
Not in it?
No.
Yeah.
I thought he'd been great over Christmas, yeah.
Yeah.
Jordan Murphy, good. Not in it.
Love to see him at 8.
No, Jordan.
Seen him at 8.
Yeah,
he is an 8 naturally. Like that's, I coached him at Bowes when he came out of school for a couple of years, and he was.
So you're responsible.
He was a number 8. I was leading him down the 8 route, but obviously with CJ there, it's a hard position to wrestle off him. But he has that natural big wide step, and really quick off the back of a scrum. We didn't see it the other night now.
Yeah.
But he's very quick, very explosive, and. Rangy, you know.
Ronan Kelleher at hooker, will he get a go?
he's injured as well, but I don't know if it's that bad.
Yeah, actually, I'm trying to think. Did he didn't feature in that Leinster game? Did he? Or he was in that group anyway, so he must be coming back in the next couple of weeks.
Rob Herring went well.
Yeah,
on Friday night.
Yeah,
he might get in the mix.
There's definitely an opening there at hooker, obviously with Bestie gone. Scannell probably.
Yeah,
next in line to step
he's,
up.
He's fit, is he? No, he's not. He mustn't be.
I think he was rested. I don't think he's injured.
Hasn't played the last two though, has he?
So you know, I don't think he played. You could see if he features then against.
So he must be up in Belfast then.
Let's see if he plays. Kevin O'Byrne. Yeah, Kevin O'Byrne actually started. Did he start two of those games?
I think so, yeah.
But yeah, no Scannell. So you might see him against Ulster then as well.
Yeah, huge game this weekend. That's going to be a proper test, I think.
Yeah.
Alrighty, we'll take a quick break and we will be back in a moment with Black and White.
You're listening to Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby on Joe, together with Guinness.
Hello, and we're back with Black and White. Over the last few weeks, we've been having some fun with selecting our best 15 teams and reliving some old stories with different scenarios. We're going to keep that up this week, but our topic is great players that could not defend to save their lives, but we're just going to go with one player each. So they're great players. We're not saying they're all great players.
If anything, it's a compliment. If you get mentioned.
It's because you're great.
Uh-huh.
But you also...
But I mean, you've just got one or two issues. You know, one or two work-ons.
No interest in tackle. Zero.
So
Pat's going to decide. We'll each go with one.
Okay. For me... he's got a couple of mentions in the past, with Ulster we went out of our way to just find a way to disguise. I think it was Fla suggested we put him in the backfield with a pair of glasses and a fake moustache.
Who is that over there?
It was Ian Humphreys. So I played with Ian with Humph Jr. the whole way through.
Yeah.
Played for Ballymena with him. And in Ballymena we did the same thing, kept him in the backfield. I remember we did some one-on-one tackle tech. And the coach at the time was trying to teach us, like, in the sports hall, took us up, we came up half an hour early for the session, and Humph, he was showing Humph how to do like judo throws and stuff like this here. I was like, we're going to see another side of Humph at the weekend. And the other one was, Matty Williams used to do sandpit training. So like just, there was a sandpit up in New Forge where we used to train, and you would have to run alongside a straight line alongside the sandpit, very ungame-like, no footwork allowed, and then you just smash whoever it was into the sandpit. So the sand was pretty hard as well. Yeah. So you'd be getting, like, obviously the sand is going to have no impact on the collision of the body, and then you smash yourself into the sand. Yeah. And I remember Ian Humphreys and Paul Marshall, the Beagle, just paired up together, and they were both such heroes.
I was going to say this.
Yeah.
I went to one of those under-16s Irish trials or some shite back when I was in school. Do you remember those?
Yeah.
You'd go up to Clongowes, you'd have to go to some private school in Dublin, and you get the bus up and you hated every minute of being there, and they're teaching you all about your core and stuff like that. And Humps was there, and he was just so ridiculously good at anything. The ball was spinning on his finger all the time.
Yeah.
Probably didn't have any pubes. Now, you know, if we're talking about like schoolboys having,
I think so.
The better players always had beards and pubes. Not sure if he had any pubes.
He was quite hairy.
Was it? Oh, he was. Yeah. You're right. Yeah,
he was.
Yeah, don't know why I thought that. But yeah, he was.
He would have shaved them from an early age. shaving pubes in some beds, that would have been a missing tackle.
Yeah, but he paired. I remember he paired up with someone as well. I was like, he's dodging the
clever,
the
harder switched stuff. On. Yeah.
Do you remember those when they give you at the end of that grueling, torturous weekend? They'd give you an IRFU T-shirt with like the IRFU sign on it that would be poorly placed. It was like off centre over here.
Half peeled off.
Way too big for you. It's like, thanks a million.
Ian Humphreys.
Yeah, I like him.
Yeah.
And a great guy.
Great fella.
Great fella.
And very handy with ball in hand.
Brilliant.
Sorry. Shocking. Shocking expression. Very talented.
Yeah. Leave it at that.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go with... I was thinking Brock James for Claremont back in the Joe Schmidt Claremont era, where they were unbelievable and we seemed to be drawn by the, with them every year.
Yeah.
And
the gloves were a big giveaway.
They were.
I thought.
Bicycle shorts and gloves.
Yes.
And that look of, please don't run at me. Yeah. But they were just so big and so good that he could get away with.
He would have been like the equivalent of the Australian equivalent of Colongos. And he'd have been in line and the coach would have recognised, that's that kid that can't tackle.
Yeah.
Take those there tackling gloves. They'll sort you out.
Yeah, I think I wore one glove one time because I had a broken finger, so I needed to keep I had like a plaster Paris on one finger. And I needed to keep that on. And the only way I could keep it on was to have a glove on. But I was like, I'm not wearing two gloves. So I don't want to be one of those lads that wears the gloves.
So I did something similar.
Purposely and then wore one glove.
People abuse me on Twitter. Call me Jacko for wearing one glove. Yeah. And at the time, the Michael Jackson trial was going on.
Oh, shit.
And so one person suggested that I should be like a correspondent on the trial. Like fully embrace it.
Proper involved.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good thing you didn't.
Yeah.
But I was going to go with him, but I decided not to. I went with Bernard Salle, the French winger who used to make me laugh so much how much he could run away from Jonah Lomu instead of tackling him.
Yeah.
Remember his celebration was his two hands in the air with the two peace signs anytime he'd score with the silver hair and he'd the long sleeve French jersey.
Yeah.
And he'd be just like that. Ooh. And it was almost like he would do, I'd love to see if someone could superimpose him doing that. Running away from Joan. From Joan Lomu. Lomu just trying to run up and he's like, woo!
Get back in!
Just chasing him around the pitch. Yeah. How, like, imagine getting away with that for your entire career.
Sorry, Ian Humphrey. Sorry, Brock James. Sorry, Mitch.
Sorry, Bernasal. Yeah, that's good. Pat, up to you, man. Our decade depends on this.
We'll give it to Trimby there. Well, Trimby, you can take Fla's non-existent name there. You can take that Guinness from him and give it to him. Flying. You know what we could do? Wipe the board for...
He definitely used him. That'll do. That'll do. Okay, congratulations. You've won the last one of the decade.
You won 2019 there, I'd say. Go back to zero for 2020.
Okay.
Yeah.
Take that cushion home with you.
We'll do it off air.
Yeah.
Did you only realise that it was the end of the decade, like, quite recently?
Yes.
Yeah.
People have started, I'd be like, don't be so dramatic. Oh, yeah, that does work.
I heard Raj on something, and he was asked about it last week, who's your player of the decade? And he was like, as in, like, 2009 to 2019? They're like, what? And then it was only at that moment that it dawned on me that it's the end of the decade.
Yeah.
Wow. What a decade, lads.
Yeah.
Was it? It's grand.
It's grand, yeah.
Alrighty, well, we'll be back in the next decade to bring you loads and loads and loads and loads more House of Rugby.
We'll next decade, we'll be in spacesuits.
With a,
all futuristic.
With a bidet. A bidet for drinking out of and washing your arse.
Or washing your gooch.
Yeah. Or your bars.
See you then.
See you then.
Oh, yeah.
Cheers.
Do the official bit.
The official ending is, please subscribe and pass on to any of your friends that haven't subscribed to subscribe. And get onto our Facebook group, which has been brilliant over Christmas. We've had some lovely comments. Pat, you met an Australian man, I believe.
Yeah, I was at the Leinster Ulster game as a fan there with my dad and sister over Christmas. And my dad was chatting away to some lad and... he's mentioned he was House of Rugby and all the way over in Sydney, he listens to it every week. Big praise for you guys.
Hello.
Said, oh, you're great crack, they're great crack.
I met one fella at Belfast at our gig and he said him and his girlfriend listened to it together.
Yeah, I met them as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, at our gig.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot of penguins in Belfast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Penguins are, Belfast is riddled with them.
And they're very happy to be called penguins.
Yeah, they love it.
It's brilliant.
We didn't mean that compliment.
I definitely felt a little bit nervous calling them penguins. If you called someone in Limerick a penguin, they'd be like, oh, Yeah. I mean, it's up north, they're very happy.
Yeah. We'll take anything, any attention.
Much love to all the penguins out there. And thank you to anyone on Twitter for leaving comments, etc., etc.
Get your comments in. You have one last chance to get the comment of the decade. We're going to run that competition next week.
I'll just be left to look after that and you'll head on with your mind, Pat. Sort that out, would you?
Comment of the decade. Perfect. Thank you to Pat, Mick, Alan and Anthony for all your help in putting the show together this week. Cheers to everybody watching on YouTube as well. Hello there. We'll see you next week. This has been Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby here on Joe.
Party on.
Party on.
You were listening to Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby on Joe, together with Guinness. Drink responsibly. Visit drinkaware.ie for the facts.